I have to tell you something funny first. I woke up at 6:30 this morning, and my dear friend and mentor, one of my teachers, Dr. Tom Costa, who made his transition about 7 years ago, well, he was prancing around in my brain, and he could prance, believe me. And he kept saying, you know, because I was a little bit, you know, butterflies in my tummy, and he kept saying, Judy, remember, it's the Father within that doeth the work. Open your mouth, and Spirit speaks through you. So whatever you hear this morning, it's not me, it's Spirit. No, it's Spirit speaking through. Twenty years ago, my dear friend Wendy Wilcott, myself, and my dad, Roy Dixon, took many plane trips to the island of Angar in the South Pacific, right off of Palau. It's about a 15-minute flight in a four-passenger plane to Palau. We were there to celebrate the 50 years of at the end of World War II. And my dad, when he was 19 years old, he was stationed as a sailor on the island of Angar. It's about 8 miles long. About 150 people lived there at the time. And he, while he was there, he took lots of pictures of the people that lived there. So 20 years ago, when we went back, we brought the pictures with us. And I looked it on the internet this morning, and there's about 130 people living on the island now. During the war, they had to go into caves, and they lived there for about 3 or 4 months until the Americans came and saved them and got the island back. And they were so grateful. So when we were there, we brought the pictures, and my dad found three of the women. We showed the pictures to, they gathered, and we showed the pictures, and they started crying. That's me at 16 years old. That one's me at 17 years old. And then they took us into the jungle, and there was a monument that they had built to the American soldiers for saving them. And my dad was the only second veteran to visit their island. Only one other person had visited them. It was so wonderful. Anyway, so we went there, and they were crying. They were so grateful. The people were so grateful to have their island back. 50 years later, they were still doing this. So there are many men and women that did not make it home throughout the years from being in wars. I was very fortunate my dad did. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here because I was born after he got home. So I am going to have my grandson, Xander, come up and help me do the beginning of the tribute for the Memorial Day. Oh, and yeah, I see that he's brought his buddy Noah as moral support. Okay, just hold the flag up. Okay, go ahead.
Please stand for the pledge.
There's the flag. Okay, hold the flag up.
Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may sit.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go hold it up.
Your grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave.
You're the emblem
of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true for the red, white, and blue, and there's never a boast or brag. For all the acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on that grand old flag.
Thank you. Thank you, Noah. Thank you. Thank you so much. So tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's the day that our nation is set aside for us to remember and to honor those men and women who have died while serving our country. It's a federal holiday, and it started off after the American Civil War being called Decoration Day. The families would go out and decorate the graves of the Union and the Confederate soldiers. After World War I, we decided that it should be to honor all veterans, all people who have died in the war. On Memorial Day, our flag is briskly raised to the top of the staff, and then it is slowly lowered to half staff. And that's where it remains until noon. Then it is raised again at noon to a full staff to remember the reminder, so that the reminder of the day that we can remember and honor those who have died for our country. Let us resolve not to let their sacrifice be in vain, but to rise up and continue to fight for liberty, justice, and for peace. Yes. I know that each and every one of us has been touched by in some way by someone that has served in a war or is serving now. So right now, I'd like for those of you men and women who have served in any of the wars, whether it be World War II, Korean War, Iraq, Desert Storm, gosh, there's so many, isn't there? Would you, Vietnam, of course, my era. If you would please stand, we can honor you. We thank you. We thank you for your service. We thank you for coming home.
For sure.
Dr. Heather's been talking about A Return to Love, which is a Marianne Williamson's book, all month long. That's our theme. And today, chapter 8 is called The Body's Purpose. So I want you to play with me for a minute. So put this arm out. Now the other. Now fold it in. And the other. And squeeze. Squeeze. Give yourself a hug. Love your body. Love your body. I know what my body's purpose is. I certainly do. It's for these arms to hug you, to hug my family, my loved ones, and all my friends. That's what these arms are for. These legs are to dance with, and I like to do that a lot more before than now, but I like to dance. They're also used to walk every morning with my mom so that we keep this body in good shape. We walk about 20 minutes every day. This body is to express life to the fullest and to live life out loud. This body before you is a tool so that I can stand here and speak wisdom and truth to you. And hopefully, it will inspire and motivate you too. In Marianne Williamson's book, the opening quote is this: "In the world of bodies, we are all separate. In the world of spirit, we are all one. We heal the separation between the two by shifting our awareness from body awareness to spirit identification. This heals the body as well as the mind." I see many of you here that was in my class that I just taught, It's All God. And for that 8 weeks, we remembered and we were steeped in the knowing that it's all God. No matter what it is, it's spirit, it's God, all of creation. There is no separation. Another one of her quotes that I really like is, "The body is a tiny fence around a little part of a glorious and complete idea." So what do you think that complete idea is? What do you think? Anybody? We are one. We are one. We are not separate. The master teacher, Jesus, says that the Father and I are one, that there is no separation. And that simply means that it's all God, once again, body, mind, and spirit. Marianne tells us that the use of the body to express anything but love is diseased thinking. Pretty powerful words. Diseased thinking. For not expressing love, we have disease thinking. So, think about it. What is your body trying to tell you? We have signals. Maybe you're holding some judgment, some anger, some kind of resentment within you. Maybe that needs to be released. Is there someone in your life that you still have not forgiven? Do you need to forgive yourself? See, that's a hard one for me. That was the hardest one. I could forgive anybody. Give me 2 or 3 months and I'm okay. I could forgive. But myself, it took years. It took years to forgive myself for the mistakes that I made in my past. But I had to look at, when I came into this teaching, I thought, I had to look at that and think, how is that serving me to carry around that unforgiveness of myself, to carry around guilt, to carry around shame and blame? What? How does that serve you? It doesn't. You need to lay it down and let it go. Just let it go. It took me years. Really, it took me years to let it go. I think I've pretty much let it go. Haven't I, Julie? Do you think? My daughter's sitting here. I've had a lot of guilt, a lot of unforgiveness for myself. So all disease and sickness is a sign of separation in our consciousness from our divine source. And that divine source, of course, is God energy, God intelligence. And healing is a sign that we have returned to that source, to that love, and to that love of God. It's super simple. If you ever have a chance to read her book in that 8th chapter, it tells exactly how it is. It's so easy. Love. Return to love, and everything is healed. Body, mind, spirit, everything. It is not the body, but the mind that needs the healing. And the healing only occurs, and it only can happen when we return to love. When Jesus healed the leper, he did not see a diseased person standing in front of him. He extended his perception beyond the physical realm and saw only perfection, only the perfection of spirit. Because spirit is eternally healthy. It cannot be sick. And it can never die. So the leper was healed because he could see clearly. Jesus saw clearly the perfection. If we were at that awakening point, if we had all reached that point of awareness in our life and we could see that, there would be no illness, there would be no dis-ease, there would be no depression or discomfort. We could heal it because we could see clearly through the physical thing and see the perfection of who we are. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. I haven't been walking on water. This is why we're here on this. That's why we're here at this time, to be uplifted and to learn and to grow and to expand in the love that is in our hearts. That's what we're here for. There are those alive today on this planet that have reached that. They can see clearly. So that's why we're here. You know, our practitioners see the same thing that Jesus the teacher saw. When you go to a practitioner for a circumstance in your life or a situation or a physical healing or depression or whatever you go to a practitioner for, That practitioner sees the truth with a capital T. That practitioner does not see what's happening on the physical plane. That practitioner sees who you are, which is a spiritual being. And they see it all through the eyes of love. That's how they see it clearly. A while back, I don't know how, maybe it was like 10 years ago, I'm not sure. I got a phone call. I was at work. I got a phone call, and my daughter, Carrie, and I want to say my grandson's here, Dylan, her oldest son. I got a phone call. She was racing motorcycles, and she'd broken her back, and I got the phone call. So I, of course, hopped in the car and was going 100 miles an hour up the freeway, and at that time, there was nothing. You didn't have Bluetooth, but I had my cell phone, and I called Dr. Heather. I said, Carrie's broken her back. I'm on my way to the hospital. I am just, I need you. So she proceeded to do prayer treatment. To affirm the truth, she saw beyond the break. She saw beyond the fall, the crash. She saw beyond all the physical reality. And she said, this is the truth of Carrie. That she is whole, perfect, and complete. Always. Well, Carrie, they said there was a fracture in her back. She wore a brace. And about 3 weeks later, she took the brace off. She said, I cannot do this anymore. I've got 3 kids to take care of. There is no way that I can, have this brace on my back. I'm done. I am done. I'm going back to the doctor and telling him I'm done. He went back to the doctor, took an x-ray. The break was gone. The break was gone, yes. So we know that, and we called it a miracle. Oh, my God, she's a walking miracle. Every day, we are miracles. Every day, we experience miracles. I mean, we wake up in the morning, we open our eyes, and we see beautiful things. That's a miracle. We can hear. We can speak. We eat delicious food. We can taste. It's a miracle. And it's something that we truly need to be grateful for this wonderful temple, this body that is serving us so well. We love it. I hug myself quite a bit, actually. I like to hug myself. We need to think of our body as a blank canvas. And on that blank canvas, we project our thoughts. And that's how we create this body, by projecting the thoughts of what we feel about it and what it is. And are we grateful? Do you thank your body? I do. When I do my gratitude list, I thank my eyes, I thank my smell, I thank my ears, I thank my legs, my heart for beating all these years, I thank it. Ricky Beyer Beckwith has a great song called Use Me. And it says, use me, O God, command my hands. What must they do? Command my life. I'm here for you. And the line that I really like, God is the love that heals all creation. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. God's love, which is the love of who we are, which is the love that we express, the same love, heals all creation. Every bit of it. We use our thoughts, our words, to heal the world and to heal ourselves. There's no other way. Each of us, every single one of you, has a healing force within you. It's called a divine physician, and it's seated within our minds, communicating at this very moment with every cell of your being. It's telling it, oh, you're so pretty today. You look so good. You're so healthy. Thanks for eating that great food. Thanks for walking this morning. It's telling everything. We all have that divine physician within us. This is the divine intelligence that supports and drives your immune system. It's proven. Scientists have proven it now. The scientists used to say that we were physical machines, and somehow along the line we learned to think. But we know better. We know now that we are thoughts. We are spirit, and we have created our beautiful bodies. I'd like to close with a quote from Dr. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of religious science and the science of mind. Mental healing and physical healing means mind healing. To heal means to make whole. We are made whole through love. So how are you going to express that love that is you through your words, through your actions, through your thoughts? Everything you do is an expression of God. It's an expression of who you are, truly are within. I'm so grateful for this body, for this mind, for each and every one of you. Thank you so much.